All right, everyone. This is Big John, and you're here for the first actual live stream of Free For All. Actually, is it the first one? It's the first one with new software. So we have a new look, everyone. We've gussied up the place a little bit so it's not so stodgy and people think we're those old libertarians that have patches on their tweed jackets smoking a pipe. Although that's cool too, I guess.
Tweed jacket right now.
Yeah. So everyone out there, welcome to the show. This is Free For All, where conversations matter. I'm your host, Big John, and I've got two awesome guests tonight who are here to discuss the situation that is brewing ahead of the Washington, D.C. Libertarian National Convention. And yes, Larry, it is brewing. I love that pantomime of brewing. That's awesome. Okay, so for folks that haven't heard the news, there was a press release yesterday that the Libertarian National Committee has invited former President Donald Trump to be a speaker at the Libertarian Convention in Washington, D.C. And this is our nominating convention. So this is not a state convention, as was the case in California, where there was some controversy about the invited speakers. So I thought, who better to have than two gentlemen who have been through the campaign process? Larry, of course, as a VP candidate in 2016, I mean, nationally, but also in New York, very proud to have voted for him several times. And also Lars Mapstead, who is currently running for the nomination of the Libertarian Party as POTUS this year. So these gentlemen very well positioned to discuss this issue, give us their opinions, ask some questions. I also want everyone to take note of the little crawl under the screen. We are taking your questions. So if you're on Rumble, YouTube, or Facebook Live, you will be able to see your questions directly. So feel free to send those in. X, you guys have to complain to Elon Musk because we can't see your comments directly. So give Elon a tweet and tell him, like, StreamYard, create an API so we can integrate with StreamYard a little bit better. All right, gentlemen, so let's start off with this. The current leadership of the Libertarian Party has been gotten a reputation for trying things, different things, in order to bring attention to the Libertarian Party to make us more recognized in the eyes of the everyday voter, that we're not just like an afterthought, that we're not just in the front, in the front of our mind of the really serious voters, but just that everybody understands, hey, there is a third alternative to the duopoly. Now, part of this strategy,
what we say often, John, is desperate people do desperate things. That's
there you go. Okay.
Right. That's the truth. And yeah, we have spent so much time, to your point, not being relevant, that many times people will do almost anything to be relevant. There's a guy named Brian Ellison out of Michigan. He had a plan. I'm not making this up. He wanted to support the homeless people and he wanted to support the Second Amendment. So he created an entire plan called Arm the Homeless. And he went around giving homeless people shotguns. I'm not joking.
Right.
And you might go, that sounds crazy. But I still remember that. And so many other people did too. Why would somebody do that? Because we're desperate. Without that, no one knows who he is. No one knows what's happening. And I know it sounds terrible to people, but I just want the audience to understand that's the mindset. You may disagree with it. I'm not saying it's correct.
Right. Right.
I'm saying it isn't just because, well, we're just nuts. That's not the reason for it. Even if you disagree with it, there is a logic behind it.
Right. And Lars, I guess the question is, yes, it's drawing attention. But to Larry's point, is it a case of any publicity is good publicity? Or is it a case of, hey, the wrong type of publicity can set back your movement, your party, years, if not more? Like, what's your thought on that in general, like about the concept of getting publicity?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the idea of getting publicity is the correct idea, that we want to, you know, further our message to as many people as possible. I mean, that is kind of what my whole campaign is about, is getting the message of liberty out to the regular people and getting people to look at libertarians in a positive light, and embrace some of our philosophy, some of our ideas. Everybody in America has been touched in a negative way by government in some way, shape, or form, whether it's the education system, criminal justice system, you name it, you know, even down to your right. like local zoning board or something like that. And so everyone has that, and they all want to kind of reduce government in some way. And we just have to tap into that. And so, you know, that's exactly what my campaign is all about, is getting national media attention. And the way that I'm trying to do that is to cause this contingent election where Donald Trump and Joe Biden are both, you know, denied the presidency on election night, right? I don't think anything could get the Libertarian Party more eyeballs and more people going, what the hell is a libertarian, than if we spoil this rotten election to the core and we deny these guys. This hasn't happened for 200 years. John Quincy Adams was elected by the House of Representatives under this contingent election that I'm trying to do. And so right. I think that the idea of getting media attention is excellent, right? Is excellent. And I think that, you know, this idea probably has some merit, right? But I'm not sure that it got executed in the correct manner. And my real fear is that we're relying on the media to tell the story, right? And we all know right. how the media tells the story, right? They are not going to tell a favorable story to us. What they're going to do is they're going to craft it the way that best represents them. And likely, in my opinion, what that's going to look like is they're going to show a little clip of Donald Trump at our convention saying something like, free Ross, right? Free Ross Ulbricht. Everybody's going to be applauding that, because who's going to boo that? Because that's libertarian right. red meat, right? And that clip is the clip that gets shown around. And the media's headline is libertarians embrace Trump, right? That is my concern. And so I think the idea of getting media attention is correct. I'm not sure that this is the correct path to do that.
Yeah, and that's a great point, because and I think this dovetails in with a lot. Larry, you know, you and I have talked about this before, the concept of the one issue libertarian. And it seems to me like this invitation of Trump to the Libertarian Convention, like Laura said, hey, free Ross Ulbricht or something similar, these one liners. Now, the fear, of course, is, hey, great, media spotlight. But do we want people walking away thinking a libertarian, by and large, is what Trump is? And I think, to me, that's a particular danger, that people walk away saying, like, hey, Trump's at this convention. They invited him, by the way, to this convention, so they must be aligned. And so, Larry, what do you think about that? I mean, or is it beholden on us to say, no, he's not?
What I would say is, I don't know if this is as good or as bad as people think. And the only reason why I say it is, if you look, what will matter? What will matter is what Lars just said. If in the end of the day, Lars is able to execute his plan and we are able to actually stop 270, no one will care who came to the goddamn convention. I mean, they won't care, right? They just right. won't, right? That won't be a thing. Right. Most people don't remember, you know, who was our last year's nominee. They don't know, right? What they remember is Gary Johnson's at Aleppo and some naked guy danced on the stage. That's the last thing anyone remembers about the Libertarian Party conventions, even though we have Bill Weld. The only person who knows about Bill Weld are libertarians and people who live in Massachusetts. No one else knows about Bill Weld at all. So if we fail terribly this year, I think that would be the issue. They'll fall back and go, see, it's because of Trump or because of whoever. I think that would happen. But if we're successful, I think this goes under the whatever. Who cares? That's my issue. Yeah. If Lars stops Trump, how can Trump be libertarian, right? I mean, how is that even possible? Does it make any sense? So I think, as MacArthur said, I always say this, there is no substitute for victory. And Lars's victory mm-hmm. is a victory in stopping 270. We make that happen. This stuff is just nice, good, and people will forget about it.
Well, no, yeah, go ahead, Lars. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Lars.
It'll be more than that, because if we stopped Donald Trump from getting elected on election night, then they're no longer saying Trump's a libertarian. They're saying the libertarians screwed this up. The libertarians caused this. And so even if we get tied to Trump in this manner, I can untie it by causing this contingent election, right? And that's, I think, the piece that really needs to be said, because I don't want to be tied to Donald Trump. Look, it's hard enough running as a presidential candidate. And the thing that I get all the time is, you're just a MAGA who smokes dope. You're just ultra right winger, right? And the reality of it is, I tell people all the time, I'm not left or right. I'm anti-authoritarian. I feel like right. I'm a very centrist candidate. I don't feel like I really resonate with either. I've never felt like I was a Republican or a Democrat. You know, I voted for Ross Perot and Ron Paul, and I just was looking for kind of mavericks that were outside of the duopoly, because I just, all my life, I felt like they were liars and hypocrites. And I couldn't sign up to vote for a liar or a hypocrite. I really rarely found a duopoly candidate that like really had anything to say that resonated with me.
Well, yeah, there's a
bigger point here too, though, John.
Yeah, go ahead.
And that is, I'm actually glad that he said yes. And I'm not glad he said yes because he's coming. The fact that he said yes means he's actually concerned. Does that make sense? Yeah. Right? The fact that he said yes is good. That means concerned. RFK Jr. may also show up. We also might get some kind of rep from Biden. Biden's not coming. But would a Democrat show up if RFK Jr. shows up and if Trump shows up? Maybe we might get somebody else junior within the Democratic or Republican establishment to also. What does that mean? It means we are valid. Right.
Right.
That part is great.
Well, see, I agree with both of you in you know, intellectually, I agree with you. And I'm the first to tell you, I'm not a politician, never dabbled in politics, really don't want to. But here's what I think. After 2020,
when I got you running for city council or something.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. But here's the thing, right? After 2020, when Trump lost, and I remember talking about it on the show, there was a lot of anger from Republicans towards libertarians, because there were four or five swing states where the libertarian vote cost Trump the state. Yep. And from that moment on, in the Bannon circles, in the, you know, in the ultra right wing, I'm almost not even tempted to say MAGA, but like the ultra, ultra right wing, there was this concerted effort to say it was those goddamn libertarians. They cost Trump the election because for some reason they assumed
that never went mainstream, Big John. It never went mainstream. They always said it was Jill Stein because they were trying to dismiss us.
So yes. I want to say something in there on exactly that, and that is that I found an old clip of Trump talking about how it was the libertarians that cost him the election on mainstream media. I posted that on my X account. It's there. It's like within the next four or five posts that are up there. And look, I mean, the reality of it is I've already had Trump sort of on the run and really looking at my campaign. I don't know if you've been following, John, about this kind of activity that's been going on, but that's part of the reason why I'm here in Nebraska, is because I went on the Smirkana show and I was talking about my plan to stop 270, to deny them the election. And 2 days after that, Donald Trump called the governor of Nebraska and said, I want you to get rid of the split electoral vote. I want you to pass a thing in your state house to get rid of this split electoral vote. And they literally had a vote on it like 2 days later. It failed. And then Donald Trump told them though that they were going to be fired and that they sucked really bad for not doing his thing. The next morning on Aaron Burnett, Andrew Yang was talking to Aaron Burnett, and they were literally talking about how this election could come down to 269 electoral votes to 269. And this one or two electoral votes in Maine or Nebraska could be the deciding factor, right? And that was kind of like, wow, that's kind of interesting. Maybe that was due to me. But I didn't have something to tie that to. But literally within the next couple of days, I got an email that said that there was a reporter putting out an article which basically tied Larry Ellison handing to Super PAC donors in their packet for the donors my polling, right? And then the next day after that, Donald Trump put on Truth Social one of the polls that I was in with my name on it, right? So they're clearly watching my campaign. They're clearly afraid of this contingent election. And look, The reality of it is Kennedy has been sniffing around the libertarians. Vivek was sniffing around the libertarians. Now Trump is sniffing around the libertarians, because what they have figured out is that we actually can be the deciding factor in this election. We can actually move the needle in this election and deny these people. And so I think that they're very aware of this mechanism, and that somebody has finally pointed it out, and somebody has finally a plan to make this happen. We only have to win 250,000 votes in Nebraska or Maine. And I'm running radio ads right now. I'm not waiting for the nomination. I'm hitting the ground running. I've got team here in Nebraska. I've got team in Maine. I'm ready to go. I just need the people to vote for me in Washington, D.C., and we can kick this thing into high gear.
Well, Lars, that's one of the things I like about you. You approach this like a data scientist. You approach this like an entrepreneur, which both are very near and dear to my heart, as we've talked about in the past. We share sort of like a similar background when it comes to that. But here's the thing that I would, let me toss this out to both of you. Is it a Pyrrhic victory if, let's say, and fingers crossed and all that, fingers toes crossed, Lars, we deny the 270, which more than likely results in a Trump victory in Congress, right? Now,
well, let me
touch that, if I could, real fast.
Sure.
The
sure.
thing that really matters here is how it works is, people don't know this. How it works is the actual incoming Congress, not the one we have now, makes the decision, right? People don't realize that. And the Congress doesn't decide.
It's state by state, right?
It's state by state. They're supposed to go back to their state assemblies. And right. the assemblies tell the congressional caucus what they're supposed to say. That's how that works. So each state gets one vote. So it doesn't mean that Trump wins. Depends on who wins what state. That's the key. And which said, plus something else, Bobby Kennedy is also running. Cornel West is also running. So if they take any states, Jill Stein's running, plus Lars takes states, all of a sudden now we could have three or four states that are just not red or blue, and each could come in under 26 states. You have to have 26 states. If that happens, they'll have to pick some kind of contingent candidate, whatever that case might be. So either way, let's say, for example, they decide, well, whatever, it's Lars, or it's Bobby Kennedy, or whatever. It's somebody who isn't those two. We just saved the country from Trump and Biden. We are heroes. We saved the country from that. We are heroes.
But let me almost say further. Sure, go ahead.
If it is Trump, what if we go through all this and it's Trump? You know what still happens? It was going to be Trump anyway. But now we've got gold on the map for the next 4 years. Every single libertarian who wants to run locally gets to point at that map. They don't change that map except every 4 years. The next 4 years and go, look at what we did. We are real. We're players. You can't ignore us anymore. And now when I have you run for the county executive of Suffolk County, you can actually win a damn thing.
Well, as much as that frightens the hell out of me, let me just say this, right? I agree. Listen, I agree with everything you guys said. I've long been an advocate of saying, like, if we deny anybody 270, that's a victory of historic magnitude, right? I'm with you, Lars. I'm with you, Larry. But my concern is, it's almost like, is it a Pyrrhic victory? Is it that people walk away not knowing what a libertarian is? Because, and I don't mean like a libertarian purity test. Don't get me wrong. I'm not like saying ANCAPs versus minarchists versus, Gorsuch. I'm not talking on this show tonight anyway.
So it doesn't matter.
Oh, right, fine. Right. So I'm not talking about that necessarily, but I mean like someone walking away saying like, hey, if the libertarians and Trump are aligned, let's assume that's what comes away from this convention in any sort of way. Does that mean we're anti-immigration? Does that mean we're pro-storm arming?
Hold on. Lars has been saying this literally for months and people aren't hearing it. So I'm glad you're saying it. Lars has been saying his goal is for people to Google what's a libertarian. That's literally how he became a libertarian. That's literally what Lars has been saying for months. What's going to happen is someone's going to go, did the libertarians ruin this thing? What the hell is that? Librarian? What's that? Boom. They're going to Google it. And they're going to go, oh, okay, that's who they are. I get it. So it will bring more people to us in general. Will some people have negative? Yeah, of course. They have it now, right?
Right. That's the thing. Right.
Some people who are saying, I'm tired. And we're seeing it throughout the country. We're seeing people saying, I'm tired of who's running now, who's running against somebody. And they're often assuming it has to be within a primary. But now they're also finding out, wait a minute, so I don't have to vote in the primary to get this guy out? I can vote someplace else? Oh, that is how we begin to win. You're right. Let me be clear. You're right. There may be some problem directly after. We may struggle for the couple of months after it. It's possible. That could happen. Absolutely. It's possible.
Yeah. Yeah.
Long one. As long as Lars's plans actually work, we're good.
Yeah. No, and I mean, I people seem to think this is willy-nilly, right? So when they say, why vote third party? Why do I, am I wasting my vote? Like, why am I wasting my vote? And I've always told people the only wasted vote is the one that you make against someone instead of for someone. If you can't find someone you can support, stay home, write your own name in. That's a better use of your vote if you can't find someone you believe in.
They don't want to hear that because what they've been told is other guy is the devil.
Yes.
Whoever the other guy is, right?
He's yes.
The devil. Yeah. So what I think you've got to tell people here is this. You've been voting for these two teams for the past 20 or 30 or 40 years. What has it gotten you? It's gotten you a long, slow decay. And if you keep doing it, it will keep decaying. Nothing will change. Never forget, Bush got us Obama. Obama got us Trump. Trump got us Biden. Who's winning? It's not us. It's them.
It's not us. Yeah. We have a question here. Let me pull this up. Okay. Lisa wants to know, I guess this might be for Lars. Did the LPA National approach the candidates for their thoughts, inputs, or were they warned in any way that this was going to happen? I'm assuming this is regarding the invitation to Trump. Yeah. So, Lars, I will let you feel that. If you so care, I will let you answer that.
I wish that I had been informed about that. Another couple of candidates were called and told, within the last week or so. But I kind of found out about it through another one of the candidates. So that was sort of how I found out about it.
Yeah, because I will say it was Lars's organization that actually made me aware of the situation because they sent out a little press release. I was on that distribution list and I saw that like first thing when you wake up in the morning and it's like, oh, my God, what's going on here? So thanks to your guy, Dan. But the truth of the matter is this took a lot of people by surprise. And let's also, again, state this. There was a similar sort of furor over the invitations of RFK and Cornel West and Jill Stein, even though she couldn't make it, to the California State Convention, which is the largest state convention in the nation, as I understand
it.
So
literally proves my point.
Right.
Most people have already forgotten it.
Yep.
Right? Most people have already 100%. Forgotten. They're exactly my point. Right? And Lars was literally on the stage with Cornel West. He looked great. People are, in fact, the best part about it is I sent that because I was the moderator, obviously. So I sent it out to all my lefties, right? So they could see it. I did. Right. I sent it to all my lefties. And now they know who Lars is because he was on stage with a guy that they love. They love Cornel West, right? Most lefties do. They love Cornel West, right? Most do. So they, okay. Who's this Lars guy? So I think in the long run, short run, it was awkward. There's no doubt it was. Long run, I think it was valuable. Not just that we had a couple of presidential candidates who actually were interviewed by a couple of mainstream papers because of it. And most people have forgotten it. So that is what I think will happen at a larger scale, maybe a little bit longer, if we do this coming up here.
I think also the kind of lesson out of the California thing, because I was really upset that that Kennedy was there, that other third-party candidates were there. And I guess the lesson out of that one was, the media basically just focused on Kennedy. They didn't even really focus anything on Cornel West at all. They focused on Kennedy and was Kennedy going to take over the Libertarian Party? That was the headlines that basically came out of California. The amount of mentions for the actual candidates for the Libertarian Party that were running for office were few and far between. And all the reporters that were there, they only wanted to talk to me about Kennedy. That's all they wanted to talk to me about. And so my fear is that we get to Washington, D.C., and the only thing they want to talk to me about is Trump and whether I'm embracing Trump or not, right? Or are you right. For Kennedy was what they basically wanted me to, say in California. And of course, Kennedy's no libertarian. He's far from it. And we shouldn't be platforming these people that aren't libertarians. I think it sends the wrong message is my opinion. But, it is what it is. We'll show up and do what we need to do. And I'm very much have, a plan. And I'm focused on my plan and getting that plan done. And it doesn't really matter if Trump's there or not. What matters is execution of the plan, and I think I can do it, and I have the resources to do it and the team to do it. So let's go, let's get it done.
Yeah. And let me
answer her question if I could.
Sure. Let me pull that back up. Question. Yeah.
Yeah. This question. As a general rule, most of the I was on the LNC years ago. As a general rule, they create committees that do these things, right? So they'll create a convention committee. The convention committee, it's supposed to keep everything inside internal. They're not supposed to leak anything. I mean, they do, but they're not supposed to leak anything. So they purposefully don't ask. It's kind of what we do. I'm not saying it's a good thing, but I'm just answering her question. They tend to make everything insular. They decide amongst themselves within their committee and then move forward based upon the bylaws that say how the convention is supposed to be run. And unless the bylaws say candidates need to be asked, they don't. That they follow they usually follow the bylaw rule, not always, but they usually do. That's just how it goes. Just answer a question.
Yeah. And that's it. So Lars, just to back up a little bit, do you distinguish between the fact that when RFK and Cornel West were in California, it was a debate format, right? And as Larry said, he was the moderator. Whereas here, this is just an invitation. Yeah. Whereas here, it's an opportunity for Trump to stump. And I wanted to show you something, see if either one of you gentlemen want to react to this. And this was a press release, I believe, yesterday or earlier this morning, that was put out by the Libertarian Party. I will highlight the part that I'm interested in, and I will read it out. And this was in the Libertarian press release that is quoting Donald Trump. And it says, "We must all work together to help advance freedom and liberty for every American, and a second Trump administration will achieve that goal. I look forward to speaking at the Libertarian event, which will be attended by many of my great friends. We all have to remember that our goal is to defeat the worst president in the history of the United States, by far, in capital letters, Crooked Joe Biden. If libertarians join me and the Republican Party, where we have many libertarian views, the election won't even be close. We cannot have another 4 years of death, destruction, and incompetence. We will work together and win." So,
well, the Republican Party does have a bunch of libertarian rhetoric, not actual policies at all, but rhetoric. Yes, they do.
Yeah.
They do sometimes talk a good game. I think that's true, but they don't do anything libertarian, but they do talk.
Yeah, not only that, but they will talk that. They will pander to the libertarians. This is kind of my fear, is they'll pander to the libertarians. Oh, we're going to do these great things. And then they're in Congress and they're literally voting to surveillance citizens with no warrant, right? They're expanding the surveillance state. They're expanding the security state. They want to like completely shut down the borders. They want to stop people from getting across the border. They want to make criminals out of everybody. You know, they'll never, ever deschedule drugs. They'll never end the failed war on drugs. They'll continue that on and on and on. And let's talk about fiscal responsibility for a minute, right? These are the guys that are like, oh, we're so fiscally responsible. And then Donald Trump literally increased the debt by $8 trillion, the largest ever in history, right? We're literally spending $1 trillion a year right now on interest expense, which is more than the entire military budget. And this is 100% on Donald Trump, right? I mean, of course, every president in my life has raised the debt in their term. It doesn't matter if they're Republican or Democrat. They are drunk on debt. They're drunk on stealing not only your tax dollars, but your children and your great-grandchildren's tax dollars. I mean, it is just absolutely ridiculous to think that Donald Trump is libertarian in any way, shape, or form. All the stuff that comes out of his mouth is authoritarian, I'm going to take guns first and ask questions later. I mean, is that a libertarian stance? Not even a little bit, right? So you can just point to probably 50 things where Donald Trump is clearly authoritarian, wants to use the state to punish you and to, you know, a lot of the problem with the Democrats and the Republicans is they are trying to use government force to push their moral objectives down on the other people, right? And this is what's causing the division in America today, right? So yeah, Donald Trump is clearly not even close to a libertarian. And this idea that we're gonna work together with him, this is just him pandering for votes. This is just him trying to like get libertarians on his side because he knows we can be the deciding factor, right? So we have to send a clear message to Donald Trump and to the whole duopoly that we are just fed up with this crap. We're not going to put up with anymore. We're not going to play the hypocrisy anymore. You know, we're not going to play with the pandering and the gaslighting that these guys do to us. It's ridiculous. And so I think that's the thing that pisses me off the most, is that we are platforming a guy that is, you know, clearly not libertarian.
Right. And like I said, you might find one issue or two where you might see an alignment with the libertarian viewpoint, like, yeah, say, no. There. Yeah, fewer there. I get it. But certainly economically, no. We forget all the tariffs. We forget all the subsidies and all that stuff. As you said, he's more modern monetary theorist than, or Keynesian more than anything else. To your point, everything comes out with, I will do this. I will take control. You know, everything becomes an authoritarian viewpoint with him. So I get you. And if, in fact, Lars, you had the opportunity to challenge Donald Trump at the convention, I'd be down there cheering you on with a big poster in the seats. Go Lars, go Mike, go Chase, right? It would be wonderful. But it seems to me that that's not the case. It'll be just,
you know. There's an issue here, though, to remember here, right? We do want to make sure that if he's going to be here, and it looks like that's going to happen, right? Unless something crazy, it looks like it's going to happen, right? That we take advantage of it, right? I don't want us to act afraid of it, right? I want us to be like, okay, he's coming. We got to get busy. Let's get busy, right? I want us to be 100%. Able to do that. And I think Lars is ready to do that. That's why he's like, okay, it's happening. He's like, I'm ready to take care of it. I think if Lars and him get in the same stage together, I think you should bring your sign, my friend, because you'll be waiting.
So while we're talking about that, Larry, I want to show you something else, and I want to get your feedback on it, because it kind of got me a little perturbed, to say the least.
The gold-faced guy from Reason?
No, yes, the Reason editor. But this is his tweet, but he's actually quoting a radio show from this morning, Austin Peterson's radio show.
I know Austin was a friend of mine. I know Matt and Austin.
Yeah, good guys as far as I know. But apparently, Angela McArdle was interviewed.
And
she basically had this little excerpt here that people are focusing on. I mean, my loyalty has to be to the Libertarian Party, right?
Because why are you asking that question?
Right. She says, because I'm literally like, I am the fiduciary. But Donald Trump is a much better person and president than Joe Biden. So two things, and I'll get to it later, but I just wanted, Larry, to get your sort of reaction.
Yeah.
Not necessarily to,
cover it all.
Sure.
Piece number one, I'm not mad at Austin. He's a Republican. He's supposed to say that. He's a Trump supporter, an open Trump supporter. He said it. So Austin's doing what Austin does. He's a Republican. He supports Trump. He's going to vote for Trump. Of course he wants that to be. Of course he does. I get that.
Yeah.
Matt Welch is from Reason Magazine. Reason Magazine is a poser rag. It is a horrible, horrible. All they want to do is take a dump on the Libertarian Party. If they find a way to make us look bad, that gets tweeted, that gets put out, all that stuff. Do you know that Liz Wolf from Reason was actually a moderator at a debate in Texas? Did you know that, the Libertarian Party? Of course you didn't. You know why you didn't know that? Because she couldn't make us look bad, therefore there was no Reason article on it. There was no Reason article, and she was literally moderating a presidential debate at a Libertarian Party convention of Texas, which is a massive state. You would think there'd be some kind of blurb on it. No, we didn't look stupid enough for her. If she could have made us look stupid, there would have been an absolute... So anything that comes out of Matt Welch or any of those gold face posers over at Reason is by default garbage. That's number one. Number two, Angela did screw up. That was not the right thing to say. I don't care if she believes it. And obviously she believes it. Obviously she believes that. And I'm not mad at her for believing it. I'm not. People have the right to believe whatever they want. They think Trump's better than Biden. Biden's better than Trump. But she should have known better than to say something like that, right? That is something she should not have said. It's inappropriate. She shouldn't have said it. She should have just said, you know what? They're both bad, whatever, or whatever the case may be. Once you step down, you can do whatever you want, right? There was and I'll give you the example. Back in 2017, we had a vice chair whose name was Arvind Bora, and he was very angry at veterans. And he was so much against the war state, he said all veterans are murderers. Now, can someone have that type of viewpoint? Of course, free speech had that viewpoint. Can you have that viewpoint and announcing it openly as vice chair of the Libertarian Party? No. No. So either retract that or step down. Either of those two things work. Either one. You can be a regular citizen and hate veterans if you want to. I mean, I don't like that I'm a veteran, obviously, but right. You can have it. And I think the same thing for Angela. It was inappropriate as a chair to say something like that.
Well, I think it also goes to this generalization of people thinking that their social media is somehow exempt from their, quote, professional lives. And in today's world, it's definitely not. You know, like I've had some candidates, present company accepted, who have reached out to me and said, like, hey, we don't like you. We'd never come on your show because you've said X, Y, Z. And I'm like, hey, I'm half a comedian. I don't mind making dick jokes, but I'm not running for office. Do you know what I mean? It's I'm not in any sort of authoritarian position, right? Or that's
I do both. I make dick jokes and run for office. I do both.
That's why I love you, Larry. People don't realize that. That's the main reason why you're number one in my book. But to your point, I agree with you. Lars, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that I get this all the time on my own social media. This is something that I battle with every day. And what it is people come on there and go, Lars, you know, you have to get on the Trump train because Biden is so evil. He did these things. And then the very next guy is Lars. You have to get on the Biden train because Trump is so evil. Right. And they're like, well, and you said it early. Well, if we do this contingent election, then Trump will win. And I'm like, I don't care who wins. They're both trash. They're both equally trash in my mind. I don't see Joe Biden or Donald Trump as any different because they're both going to increase the debt. They're both going to get us into wars. They're both going to be completely authoritarian and be putting people in their place and telling them how to live their lives. And that is what I'm trying not to do. That is what libertarians are all about. And these guys, they're the duopoly. They're the same party at this point. They're the party of the corporations. Look, the RNC and the DNC are private companies, and those private companies run our elections. We don't even have real elections anymore because we have two private companies that have completely co-opted the system, rigged the system in a game where we can't even get any other candidates to run against them because they've even co-opted the media to be complicit with their activities, right? It's just the whole system is so rigged. That's what I'm trying to shine light on. And I'm hoping to wake Americans up to the fact that we don't have to do this anymore, that we can slough off these shackles that the duopoly has put on us, but we have to take the courage to vote different. You know, we've been doing this over and over and over again, expecting different results. And like Larry says, you know, we've been voting for the lesser of two evils for 50 years. And what has it got us? More evil. I'm done with it. Let's get done with this crap.
Lars, I'm glad you said that. And I hope you understand I'm 100% behind you. If I wasn't a mathematician, I'd say I'm 110% behind you. But here's the deal, though, okay? And I'll risk you getting upset at me, right? One of your campaign themes is unrig the system, which I thought was a fantastic campaign theme. I love the thought around it. I love it. It's great. Let me put a spotlight on you because I'm sure some of our listeners may have this. Hey, Lars is for unrigging the system. Does the LP need to be unrigged right now?
Hold on. Whoa, 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 whoa. Let me jump right in on this one, right? Let me, if I could. The LP, whether it's good or bad or indifferent, this is the part you got to realize. Let me ask you, what other organization has any chance at making any impact?
Oh, no, no. I agree.
Don't care. This is the only vehicle we have. If it is often a dumpster fire on wheels, that's true. But without it, we're walking. And I don't want to walk. So I'm going to sit on that dumpster fire, try to put it out, and I'm going to move that dumpster fire into November, and we're going to make enough impact. Because here's the reality. As much as I love Lars, and I love Lars, he can't unrig the system by himself.
True.
He just can't. Right?
True.
Impossible. True. Can't be done.
True.
But if people see what he's doing, that will unrig the system. You remember this, John. You were with me. 2018, what was my campaign? I said, I will break a hole, and I need you guys to follow me through it. And we did. And then they crushed the hole right back up. Lars is going to break a hole in this system. And the people are ready to move through it. You see it. The Greens are ready. The Rouge people are ready. They're ready to move through. The Constitution Party is ready. They just picked their guy. They're all ready to move through. There's literally a Prohibition Party. I'm not joking. And they picked a presidential candidate because they're ready to run through that hole. When Lars breaks this hole open, they are all rushing through.
And I appreciate that. And Lars, I'll let you talk. Give me 2 seconds. I don't disagree with you, Larry, but that does not mean that we can't take an introspective look, if that's the way we all feel here, and say, I say, like, hey, I agree with you. This is the best thing going, but I don't want to fall back, if it makes sense, into the lesser of three evils type of thing, you know. So, having said that, I'm sorry, I want to give Lars a chance. So, Lars, because it is his campaign theme, I want to give him a chance to talk.
You know, I'm with you. I just want to answer that part of the question. So, I've answered the whole thing. I'll shut up, and then Lars can
jump over. I don't want you shutting up, Larry. Go ahead. It's okay.
No, the last thing you brought up, which is, that's the point. When we bring more people in, the solution is dilution. The solution is multiplication, not division. So as we bring more people in, that is how we unrig the Libertarian Party. More people, more ideas, more values, more money, more talent. That is how we do it. We can't just by going, let's reorganize when nobody wants to be here. But when Lars shows us value and we people want to be here, we will draw more talent and unrig it. Okay, I'm done. Sorry about that, Lars.
That's okay.
No worries. I mean, the thing is that I'm here to do a thing, right? And the thing that I'm trying to do doesn't really require the Libertarian National Party. What it requires is ballot access, which is the number one thing I think that the Libertarian Party should be focused on. All the rest of this stuff is kind of noise to me, because I'm trying to do a thing right now, which is cause a contingent election. And I'm, you know, I've been running for 3 years now. I've been above the fray of all this stuff because I don't care about that stuff. What I want to do is do the thing. I want to get millions of people coming to the Libertarian Party. I want to get the donations in. We have 700,000 registered libertarians in America. That's not even 1% of America. We're not going to affect change. We're not going to change the system. We're not going to unrig the system until we get to 10 or 15 million people. I'm trying to build the blocks that are going to unrig the system in the future. I'm trying to set the stage for the Libertarian Party so that we can have power in elections, so that we can actually show America that we can win, that we aren't just a spoiler, that we can actually win and we can affect change. Once people see that we can affect change, once people have hope that we can affect change, they will get behind us. And that is where the movements for the Libertarian Party starts. But they have to feel that. They have to feel just like when Ron Paul was running and people were like, this guy could actually do it, right? And I was so hopeful when I was voting for him that he was going to be able to break this duopoly and actually get to the matters that Americans cared the most about. And I was really disappointed when that didn't happen, right? But it didn't stop me from wanting liberty. It didn't stop me from wanting to get the state out of our lives. And as my life has gone on, I've been impacted by the state over and over and over again. And I often say that the federal government carpet bombs its citizens and the local government holds a gun to your head, because it's very personal when local government is pissing on you, right? And that other guy on the other side, the authoritarian on the other side of the table that you're having to deal with, just because he had a bad day, he's sticking it to you or something like that. And it's completely, the rules aren't the same for everybody, right? It just matters how they're feeling to you. They're judge, jury, and executioner, and they get a little taste of that authoritarianism, and they eat into it and just punish people and use it against people, you know? And so that's what I'm trying to end.
Yeah, and man, I feel all jazzed up right now, Lars. Lead me into battle somewhere. That was fantastic, I got to tell you. Because I just got done writing out my property tax check for the rest of the year. Yes. And Larry's nodding his head. He knows what it's like out here in Long Island. So you've got me going. I feel like 9/11. If they had put a recruiting station by those towers when I was standing there, I would have gone to Iraq 100%, because emotion gets the best of you. So that was,
when that happened, I was ready to call 1-800-MARINES and go back in again.
You're right. So we all know that type of inspiration can get us going. Let me ask you this. Why don't I see, and this is a personal thing, so you can object, of course. Why don't I see more candidates speaking out about this, Lars? I'm not going to name anybody. But you, to be perfectly frank, were the only one who was willing to come on and talk about this. Why do you feel that is? Aside from your integrity, aside from your courage, why do you think, is it like in the face of this? Like, I mean, let's face it, we can't be posers to what Larry said. If we think we see something fishy slash wrong slash maybe not working out, do we have an obligation? And by we, of course, I'm using the royal we because I'm not running for office, but is there an obligation to speak out? Like, you came here, you spoke out. I think you sound great. You've been professional. Yeah, it's not muckraking. It's not a Jerry Springer episode. Why do you think that we don't hear more people? And again, they don't have to be mean about it, but just come out and say, hey, this is what I think. You know, why are we doing this? Is this the best? I don't understand.
I think all the other candidates, I think, made some kind of statement or something on social media or whatever and took their position, right? But I one thing that just popped into my head is that, you know, in some different organizations that I belong, there's a message that the message is principles before personalities. And I take that to heart all the time, right? That I will set aside my personal thoughts about other people and really try to go to the principle of the matter, right? And try to take the personality out of the situation. And you know, I see a lot of personalities going on social media right now, and I'm literally just trying to do this thing, right? And so I can take that and try to set that aside and not get caught up in all the drama and the fray and all that kind of stuff. And look, you know, as a business person, I often had really challenging things come up on the fly, unexpected, out of nowhere, right? You know, like the database crashed in the middle of the night, the credit card processor stopped processing for you. You know, there's a giant patent infringement lawsuit against you. There is a giant copyright infringement against you. You're going to spend the next 5 years dealing with this, right? And I am expert at being able to take whatever adversity comes my way and turn it into something positive. And so that is kind of what I'm trying to do with this whole Trump thing, with all these people trying to co-opt our party to come in and try to, you know, get votes. I don't blame any of these guys. If I was a Republican and I was running, I would totally try to get these people to vote for me, right? That's the, I mean, of course I would do that. And so if there's an opportunity to do that, I would take it. But, you know, I think we just have to hunker down and keep our principles forward and get the personalities out of the way and keep pushing libertarianism, keep pushing anti-authoritarianism, keep getting people to understand that big government isn't your friend. We don't need the nanny state to tell us what straws we can use or what forks we can use or, you know, what we can smoke or what we can't smoke or where we can hang out with or who we can hang out with. You know, we don't need that. And I think most Americans agree that we don't need that.
So yeah. Let me be fair, though, if I could, John. The other candidates did say something. But what Lars said just now is the reason why you didn't hear it, because Lars is a savvy businessman and a savvy marketer, and he simply has more reach. That's the reality. They put out stuff, but nobody saw it. And that's the problem, right? That's literally the reason why Lars has the best plan for that right there.
Yeah.
They all put something out, but you and your audience didn't see it.
Right.
Didn't see it. But everyone saw his, because they're following him, because they're paying attention to him, because his campaign sends out mailers, because his campaign sends out text messages, because his campaign has advertised it, because it's the only real campaign. That is why you're the one who saw it.
But Larry, here, I don't disagree with that. There were these very stale sort of, you know, press releases, but I mean, the candidates themselves are not out talking about it. But
that's because they're still working.
No, I get it.
They're changing diapers or whatever. They're fixing cars. They're working. They're teaching. They're in college right now. They're doing that stuff.
I get it. But okay, so that's an answer. That's why they're not doing it. Fair enough. But Lars made a great point, and I'll just kind of go with it right now, which is both you and Lars are entrepreneurs, much like myself. We've run small businesses, some of us more successfully than others, perhaps. But how much – that's a very interesting point Lars made. Like, hey, entrepreneurs, small business owners, they have to react to zigs and zags, and they have to be able to think on their feet and pivot and – you know, A/B test on the fly. Like, talk to me a little bit about that, Larry. Like, do you feel that's what makes a superior candidate, especially one who's interested in shaking up the system, breaking up the orthodoxy? Like, do you feel like almost the best type of personality to have is an entrepreneurial personality for something like that?
But not for that reason.
Okay, go ahead. Love to hear it.
Not for that reason.
Okay.
The reason actually is resilience. Right? What Lars was talking about wasn't that he was always the smartest guy in the room, and the best entrepreneurs aren't always the smartest guys in the room. But the best entrepreneur is the guy who goes, we're not stopping. Find an answer. Big John, don't look at me like that. What the hell's the answer? We got no credit card processing. Go do it, man. I got customers I got to talk to. Larry, go out there and talk to the customers. They're yelling at us. Go calm them down. Go do that. That is what we need. That is what Lars's skill set is. You don't have to be the smartest guy in the room. That isn't the issue. Will you draw smart people to you, and will you motivate them to go do the thing even when it looks grim, even when it looks bad? That's the issue.
Yeah. Right. The ability to, yeah, the ability to like stare chaos in the face and be able to still plunge ahead. Yeah, that's a great trait to have. Like I remember being on the trading floor when I was young, and I was the one guy who was in charge of keeping the Bloomberg terminals running, you know, and ooh, and all that stuff back in the day. Right. And when that thing crashed in 93 to the attack, nobody cared who you were or everything. It's like, right. Who can square my position, man? Who can quit out there? I've got $250 million tied up in yen dollar exchanges, man. Go, you figure it out. I don't care if you speak Japanese or not. You figure it out. You're in charge, right? Yeah. There's no such right. There's no such thing as, well, I guess you can kiss your 250 mil goodbye because I don't know how to do it, right? Like there's none of that.
That's not the answer.
You're right, Lars. That's not the answer anybody wants to hear, right? Like they'd rather hear he put a gun to his head. They'd rather hear that than there is no answer, right? So I do think that's a great insight to say that's a very desirable quality characteristic in a candidate, especially one who's trying to shake up the system, who is a third-party candidate, doesn't necessarily have the backing of the duopoly, the uniparty, whatever phrase you want to use. So I do think that was an interesting point. Okay, final question. When we coming out of Washington, best guess from both of you, we'll start with Lars. Best guess, does the Libertarian Party come out better, the same, or worse for wear following the media circus that's bound to follow Trump to Washington? Lars.
So I'm optimistic right now. I'm optimistic that the Libertarian Party is going to solve a lot of its issues that it has, that we're going to come together and we're going to get around a candidate. And I believe that that candidate is going to be me. And that one of the things that I've been talking about a bunch is that I, you know, in my life, all the times that I got in the most trouble was when I was bored and had nothing to do. Right. When I was hanging out with my friends and like, you want to do something stupid? I'm like, sure, why not? Right. And the thing is that, and I've been saying this for 3 years now, that I think that the Libertarian Party needs something that it can focus on. And I believe that Stop 270 is that thing. I've mapped out 500 miles around Omaha, Nebraska, and 500 miles around Portland, Maine. You're within that 500 miles. I hope that you'll come to Portland, Maine and canvass with me in Portland, Maine to spread the message of liberty. We can win this 270 electoral vote, stopping them to do that. We can win this contingent election, but it's going to take libertarians from all over coming to those states and knocking doors and spreading the message of liberty. I want all those people who basically are, you know, big talkers, I want them to actually get out and do the thing with me, right? And I believe that we all come together to do the thing. That's going to bring the party together in a way that hasn't been done in a long time. We need a thing to get behind that can be championed for the Libertarian Party. I believe I'm offering that to the delegates, and I hope that they see that, and I hope that they choose me in Washington, D.C. But I am optimistic that the Libertarian Party is going to come out and be better going forward than it was before we got to D.C.
That's a great statement you just made there, Lars. And for the folks that are listening, is there a website they can go to find out about this Stop 270 plan of yours?
Yeah. So Lars24.com, you can go there. But if you do Lars24.com/Stop270, that will show you exactly what the plan is. And we, you know, we've put out tons of videos. In fact, I think we're putting out a very specific video on Stop 270 very shortly. I just released a mini documentary about my life and sort of so people could kind of understand where I'm coming from, the struggles that I've gone through and the, you know, the rags to riches American dream, so to speak. And so, you know, I think that like my background lends to you know, overcoming adversity. And that's, and I think that the Libertarian Party has adversity against it, right? And so I'm coming here to try to overcome the adversity that we face. And I think that we can do it. I think that I can help lead us to it, but I can't obviously do it alone. Like Larry said, I need the help of all libertarians, and I'm talking all libertarians. I don't care what caucus you're in or what, you know, what infighting you're part of. I need everyone to get behind me, and we can do this thing. I am confident of it. I'm more confident of it today than I have ever been during this campaign. The longer I campaign, the more people I talk to, the more I become totally I totally believe in this and that we can do this. And I have a big faith that we're going to be able to get the 250,000 electoral or 250,000 votes we need to deny Trump and Biden this electoral vote.
That's fantastic. And I agree with everything Lars said, except for one thing. If you want to find out a little bit about his history, come to the Big Questions with Big John, where I sat down for about an hour and a half with Lars. And we got his history down. So I'm going to plug myself a little bit on that, Lars. They can come watch your history on my channel. But look, all joking aside, go to Lars24.com. Chip in if you can for Lars. Better yet, if you can volunteer, go get out there, pound the streets for Lars and for Liberty. Deny 270. Let's get that contingent election. All right. Let's go now to Larry Sharp. Mr. Sharp, your opinion. Libertarian Party, better, worse, or just about the same as the result of
Lars said, there's actually precedent and there's evidence of this. And that is Gary Johnson, 2016. Gary Johnson, also an entrepreneur, same mindset, just pushed through what ran twice, 2012, got beat up pretty badly. 2016 got the highest we'd ever gotten, 4.5 million votes, 3% of the vote. No one's gotten higher, raised $13 million, more than any libertarian by far. He was the best we had. And I was there in 2016. I was trying to be his VP. I didn't win that, but I was trying to be, right?
Should have been Gary and Larry.
I wish you were there to tell everybody that. They didn't get it. It was Gary and Larry. But anyway, the reality of it is when we left that convention, anyone who was around during that time would agree to this. It was the most unified I've seen this party in 10 years. Mm-hmm. We were unified. We were on the same page. We were thinking we got a shot at this. And people didn't like Bill Weld. And they still thought, no, we like Gary and Gary's the guy and we came together and we're ready to go. I feel like we can make that happen. And I think everything that Lars is saying, there's been evidence of in the past. We've seen it happen. It can happen with that same type of mindset, with that same goal that we can make something happen. We can do the thing. And the thing back then was we were going to get in debate stage. Mm. That was what Gary was talking about. It was debate stage. That was the thing that Gary was here to do, right? The thing that Lars is here to do is stop 270. We have a goal again. And to be forward, the other candidates, I mean, I like them all, but their goal is I'm going to be a good messenger, which is nice. I like that goal, but that's not a goal that we can all see and grab onto, right? This one we can. This is why I think it's special. So I do think we can copy the motivation, the unity of 2016 with this type of plan. Yes.
Fantastic. And Larry, before I forget, people may be getting the idea that you only appear on this show. That's total garbage.
True. That's the only show I'm on.
Total garbage. Show. Tell us about the
show. No other show whatsoever that I'm ever on. None, ever.
So tell us about the Sharp Way. When is it on? When am I going to be a guest? What's going on with the Sharp Way, Larry?
You are coming on one Monday evening as my panel show, probably May 20th or 27th is probably.
I can't wait.
Maybe 20th or maybe June. I'm not sure. We'll figure it out. We'll get a date for you. You'll come on that day. And Google or look for Larry Sharp on all the things. I am on all the things as Larry Sharp. Facebook, Twitter, Rumble, doesn't matter what it is, whatever thing. I'm on Mastodon, Gab, does not matter. I'm on all the things. Look at Larry Sharp. I'll be there.
Fantastic.
With an E.
All right.
Sharp with an E.
Sharp with an E.
And the E stands for entertaining.
I thought it was energy, but okay, entertaining works too. Like
enlightening. It's even better.
Even better. All right, everyone. I want to say thank you to our guest, Lars Mapstead. Thank you for joining us on Short Notice. I really appreciate it. Larry Sharp, my fellow New York libertarian, except he's much more preeminent than I am. So Larry Sharp, thank you once again for joining us on the show. Really appreciate it. Everyone out there, please check out free for all, live streaming now, usually Thursday nights. Today we had a little bit of an arrangement to go Friday night, but otherwise, check us out, free for all. Go to grumblingsmedia.com, grumblingsmedia.com, much like Larry, at Grumblings Media on all the social media platforms. You can find us there. Until next time, thank you, everyone, for joining us. We'll see you then. Peace.